This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Members of the University of Victoria's Poverty Law Club have drawn public and media attention to 30 deaths among Victoria's homeless people. The deaths occurred over a four-month period during the summer of 2012, and the number of deaths is three times higher than in previous years. Many of the deaths were not reported to the coroner's service because they were due to natural causes. The Poverty Law Club has sent a formal request to the regional coroner asking for an investigation into the deaths. A spokesperson for the coroner's service said that the regional coroner is now reviewing files related to that request. We're joined on the phone by Michaela Robertson, president of the Poverty Law Club at University of Victoria.
Welcome to People First Radio, Michaela.
Hi, thanks.
In your letter to the regional coroner's office, you write, "We are reporting these 30 deaths to you because we believe that it is in the public interest that this class of deaths be reported. These deaths represent a threefold increase in the number of deaths among the homeless community in Victoria during the summer and fall months." Tell us more about these deaths. What is known about them?
Sure. So as you mentioned, we wanted to bring attention to this class of deaths. They're caused by various different issues related to living in poverty and social exclusion. So they range from pneumonia to cancer to, there was one murder, someone accidentally set themselves on fire in one case. So various causes, but we just really want to draw attention to the fact that they all speak to broader failures and for different forms of exclusion and marginalization that are people who are living in homelessness and poverty experience. So now, we're trying to say that there is the cause is all related to poverty in all these cases.
Now, the Poverty Law Group, and I took this information from the letter which you shared with me, the letter you sent to the coroner's office. The Poverty Law Group is requesting an investigation pursuant to Section 7 of the Coroner's Act. Tell us more about that act and that particular section and how that relates to all of this.
Sure, yeah. So under Section 7 of the Act, the coroner must conduct an investigation on any reported deaths. So in this case, we reported the deaths to the regional coroner. And the deaths have to have been required to be reported under Part 2 of the Act. So Part 2 of the Act lists various types of deaths that are required to be reported. And we are trying to say under Section 2F that we believe it's in the public interest that this class of deaths broadly be reported to the coroner, and that an investigation leading to a recommendation for an inquest be held.
Now, there's something about natural, so-called natural causes of death, and those deaths aren't reported to the coroner. Is that correct?
Well, the way it works is that there's certain deaths, for example, if somebody dies in the care of a physician, it doesn't necessarily have to be reported. And there's speculation by the regional coroner that perhaps some of these deaths that weren't reported were in the care of a physician. But we don't know that. So about half of the 30 names, actually 10 of the 30 names, they've been unable to find additional information in the details of these individuals. We know they all passed because we've been in touch with our place, who actually held the services for all of these individuals. So really at this point, we would just like to see more investigation done into these deaths. And at that point, we can decide if an inquiry should go forward.
An editorial from the Times Colonist, which is, of course, the major newspaper in Victoria, called "Don't Dismiss 30 Deaths," states the following: "It is easy to dismiss these deaths as the unavoidable consequence of living a hard life, but the dead were human beings who were among the most vulnerable in our society. We cannot help them, but we could help others." And I'm wondering if you could just comment briefly on the notion of the humanity involved in this and how, on one hand, we can talk about these deaths and were they natural causes or not, and et cetera, and yet on the other hand, you mentioned our place and how they held memorial services for the many of the people who died. What have you heard from the people at our place and from others? What do we know about the people who died?
Yeah, the people who died were part of an incredibly strong community here in Victoria of folks who are street involved and folks who are actively working with regards to anti-poverty initiatives and strategies. There's very much a strong community. And that's kind of what we want to do here is bring attention to these deaths. These aren't deaths that should go unnoticed. It's really important that broader conditions that led to the deaths are addressed through this initiative. So I know that there's a lot of great work being done right now by VIPERG, the Vancouver Island Public Interest Research Group, along with the City of Victoria Youth Council, AIDS Vancouver Island, and SOLID, so different local groups that are working with street-involved folks in order to try to draw attention to some municipal services and whatnot that could change and better respond to the realities of people living in homelessness or poverty. So we really think that it's important that, like you mentioned, the humanity behind this be the focus and that, you know, this really be used as an avenue to generate discussion around changes that could be made to better address the needs of those folks.
A couple of words that come up quite frequently in the media writing and in the information around this particular challenge are investigation and inquest. And if you look a little further into some of the information, including your letter, there's a concept of a panel, a review panel. Give us a sense of the difference between an investigation, an inquest, and a review panel.
Sure, yeah. So a death review panel is one option, like you mentioned. This panel would look into the causes of the deaths and come up with, it has the capacity to come up with broad-ranging recommendations. It could include various experts who meet to discuss the deaths and ways that similar deaths could be prevented in the future and changes that could be made to prevent similar deaths from occurring in the future. Now, the shortcoming of a death review panel is that it wouldn't include as much fact-finding. So the benefit of having something more like an inquest would be that it would include a lot of fact-finding. It's a more extensive process. There's more groups that would be involved, and it would be a broad fact-finding mission in order to come up with broad recommendations aimed at preventing similar deaths from occurring in the future. So both options could meet our goals, but we are trying to advocate more for a inquest just because of its more potential to lead to more broad recommendations and include more stakeholders.
When do you think you might hear back from the coroner's office?
They said in maybe the next month or so. We're going to be soon inviting various other organizations to write to the regional coroner and include reasons why they think an inquest should go forward. We've been in touch, and they've been very cooperative so far. So right now they're just looking into those last names and trying to get a clearer picture before they recommend whether to hold an inquest or a death review panel.
Now, if we return to the broader background behind these deaths, as you suggested earlier in the interview, the concept of these deaths being poverty-related, Yanni Pappas-Ackerman, who's also a member of the Poverty Law Club at University of Victoria, was quoted in the Times Colonist as saying the deaths occurred in several different ways, but the root cause is poverty. And that seems to be the message of the Poverty Law Club at UVict. Tell us about the need for poverty reduction and what is your assessment of government policy in this area right now?
Sure. So we are advocating also for the implementation of a poverty reduction plan. Currently, British Columbia is one of two provinces, along with Saskatchewan, that doesn't have a poverty reduction plan. So such a plan would include things like raises in income assistance rates, more social housing, enhanced community health care, those types of things. So there have been a lot of groups that have been doing work around the need for BC to have a poverty reduction plan. The election's coming up. It's a great time to advocate for something like that. So you're just considering the very high cost of living in Victoria. These are the kinds of broader policy reforms that could help address issues related to poverty and homelessness and enhance access to community health care as well.
Michaela, you've been speaking with other organizations, and you indicated to me when we spoke about this interview by email that there was going to be a more of a concerted effort. What's going to happen next?
Well, so what's going to happen next? We know we've got a bit of time while the investigation's is happening to get other groups on board. We're going to invite groups, like I mentioned, to submit letters to the regional coroner indicating why an inquest should go forward, why there should be broader investigation and into these series of deaths. So that's really where we're going from here, is just pushing for an inquest and to generate some discussion around policy changes that could help address poverty and homelessness in Victoria. So that's really where we're looking to go from here.
Michaela Robertson, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. It was much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
Michaela is a law student and advocate and is currently president of the Poverty Law Club at University of Victoria.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.